Well, folks, after a 13-week absence from each other and from our church, it sure does feel good to say, good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning. Although our time together today in worship will not entail a lot of what we've become accustomed to over the years, we certainly understand that we're striving to offer the safest worship experience possible by maintaining the protocols that were given to us by a number of knowledgeable healthcare professionals and experts. And although our style of worship that we're offering today may go on for some time yet, through our perseverance is certainly our prayer that we'll succeed in finding a resolution to our current health concerns. And one day we will be able to return to our regular worship services that we've become so used to over the years. Our thanks to everyone for taking the time to call or email the church office with reservation for the service today. We want to encourage everyone to please continue doing that. Please do call the church office or email the church office before 3 o'clock on every Thursday so that we can balance the number of folks present at each service so we can keep within the 60 count that's required by the social distancing guidelines, especially as more families within our congregation gradually return to our presence in the upcoming weeks and months. As we've also stated in emails and such, we won't be having other activities in the building until some of these same social distance guidelines are lessened or discontinued, things like Sunday school and children's church. In the meantime, it's certainly a joy to see every one of you in the Lord's house this morning, as our primary purpose for being here always is to offer praise and worship to our loving God. Amen? All right, Andrew.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I will fear no one.
The Lord protects me from all danger. I will never be afraid.
I have asked the Lord for one thing. One thing only do I want.
To live in the Lord's house all my life, marvel at his goodness,
and to ask for his guidance. Let us sing hymn number 90, all stanzas.
Christians join to sing Alleluia, Amen. Loud praise to Christ we bring, Alleluia, Amen. Let all with heart and voice before his throne rejoice. We with grateful choice, Alleluia, Amen. Come, lift your hearts on high, Alleluia, Amen. Let praises fill the sky, Alleluia. Shall never end. Alleluia, Amen. Praise yet our Christ again. Alleluia, Amen. Life shall not end the strain. Alleluia. His goodness will adore, singing forevermore, Alleluia, Amen.
we bow in a few moments of prayer. Gracious God, we give our sincere thanks for this privilege to once again gather here in your house. We realize that the new and temporary normal of our worship experience. We miss the opportunity to greet each other with hugs or handshakes, and we certainly will feel the absence of passing the communion elements of our Lord's Supper. But yet, Lord, we are grateful that we can be together despite the limitations of our gathering. Oh God, we ask for your guidance as we strive to care for all of your children and for their health and safety. And we pray for the living presence of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit as we begin our worship service together. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Be seated.
Good morning, everyone. It certainly is a joy to see you in the Lord's house this morning. Certainly a lot has happened to a number of our families since our last gathering here on the 15th of March. We want to especially lift up Kathy Archer, as she is now in the North Kansas City Hospital. She's been dealing with some respiratory concerns for an extended period of time, although it's not believed that she's dealing with the coronavirus. She just has some concerns we're trying to get a handle on. Jean and Grace Kimberling are both at North Kansas City Hospital. Both of them have had falls at home recently. Unfortunately, they're not on the same floor, but I do hope they might be able to see each other while they're there. Warren Roberts' sister, Barbara Holloman, is in our prayers as she is being treated for cancer up in her home state of Washington. And Ardith, we are so delighted you're here. We keep lifting up Dave in our prayers, recognizing that it's been determined that Dave will not be going through a lung transplant, but we just wish you all the very best of good health in the time ahead. We want to lift up Ruth Ann Solomon's daughter, Rihanna Ralston, as she continues to have a number of health problems. Ellen Stewart's sister, Linda Gash, is in our prayers. She's home, but also a number of health concerns. Dottie Olson is asking us to remember her grandson, Josh Ault, as he will be undergoing surgery after fracturing his ankle in an accident here over the weekend. Louise Russick would like for us to remember her husband, Bob. We also remember Betty Donahue, Michelle Jacobo, and Ted Ferris's daughter, Cindy Berry. And Ted, we know you may be going to see her here in the next few days. Bob Knopf also is going to be having a knee surgery for his left knee on the 20th of July. And Kay Yoakum, you know, who had been rather sick for a number of weeks, she was able to be here at the one of the earlier services and making good progress, too. Our sympathy is extended to Grace and Steve Miller with the unexpected passing of Grace's brother-in-law, Bruce. Bruce's wife and Grace's sister, Jennifer, is left behind, as well as their children, Isaac and Nicole. Ruby Wolf lost her sister and one of our dear members of the church, Louise Mendrup, several days ago. Lori Horner's father, Jim Sutter Sr., passed into the Lord's presence because of complications from the coronavirus in recent weeks. And Mike and Leanne Zuber and their family have actually lost three family members as a consequence of the coronavirus, family members who lived in various parts of the country. Also, some moves have been taking place in the time of our absence from one another. Bob and Jackie Rockhold have moved to Arkansas. Joe and Kathy Weekly have moved to Minnesota. Debbie Alvarado has moved to Oklahoma. And Dorinda Hoke will be moving to southern portion of the state of Missouri. The home that she has here in Kansas City has sold, and closing on that will be in the middle of August. So Dorinda will not be with us much longer either. So please keep all of those families in prayer in the midst of transition. So just in 13 weeks, you can see an awful lot has happened in the lives of many, many of our people. May we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Merciful and loving God, it is indeed a privilege to assemble in your house after 13 weeks of absence. We offer you all the praise and glory, for we know with certainty that no matter what may come our way during the course of our fallible existence, your will and purposes reign supreme. It is here in your house that we are certain of your presence dwells among us. For your presence dwelt among the Hebrews above the covenant box in the form of a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night. Your presence dwelt among the early Christians at the birthday of Christ's church in the form of flaming tongues above the believers' heads. In the last 3 months, our nation and the world has experienced a rush of challenging circumstances. The myriad of concerns feels like an age of plagues, like those your people felt while being freed from Egyptian bondage. A plague has plundered the health of millions throughout the world. Violence and injustices have been exacted upon many. Protesters and destruction have filled our streets. Millions across our nation and indeed the world have suffered the loss of employment. Much of society is in need of repair. Many are in need of reconciliation. Even though our future seems clouded, we know that this wave we are riding is but one such wave of uneasy circumstances that humanity has experienced through the centuries of our human existence. And yet, the great certainty through it all is that your great love is supreme, and it is always our great need to embrace the truths you've offered us through the guidance of your word and through the example of your son's great grace and compassion. We seek Christ's ways, O God, as we turn our eyes toward you and as we affirm your presence among us while we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good. Good, oh, you are good, good, oh. Let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in my waves, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in my waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Oh, 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 you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh.
So wonderful to hear Andrew's voice again, live and in person. As we begin our time of communion reflection, please refer to your bulletin on the first inside page toward the bottom, where it says the community and reflection before God. Merciful and loving God, we are so very much aware of many changes that have taken place since the last time we've assembled for worship in your house. Here, O God, we know we can draw upon the solace of your comforting presence in a most unique way.
Here and there, so God, we know we can set aside the apprehensions, concerns, and uncertainties that may be really present.
Here in your house, O God, we are assured by your steadfast love for all your children, and by your everlasting presence in all circumstances. For in union with your Holy Spirit, we know your great love sustains us forever and ever. Thanks be to God. May we sing together our hymn of contemplation, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee. We'll sing all stanzas. That's page 102 and also printed inside your bulletin.
Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. No voice can sing, no heart can frame, nor can the mind recall a sweeter sound than thy blessed name, O Savior of to ask how kind thou art, how good to those who seek. Jesus, our only joy, be thou, as thou our prize wilt be. Jesus, be thou our glory now and through eternity.
Possibly you are aware that the Book of Psalms is a collection of poetic works that were sung in their original context. Our scripture reading for today, Psalm 122, actually has the full title, A Song of Ascents of David. Many scholars believe that this psalm was originally one of the songs sung by worshiping pilgrims as they ascended the road to Jerusalem to attend the three pilgrim festivals. As Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16 states, three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, and the festival of tabernacles. As one of the songs of ascent, which are Psalms 120 through 124, Psalm 122 was to be sung when the people entered the city gates of Jerusalem and prepared to worship God in the tabernacle. Some of you who have received note cards from me may recognize that the first verse of this psalm is written on the front of those cards beside a photo of the interior of this sanctuary. And even as we are now privileged to once again worship God in this beloved sanctuary, possibly this first verse and the subsequent verses of the psalm, once sung by the Hebrew pilgrims, will genuinely have meaning for you and me today. Psalm 122, the first verse states, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the Lord's house. And as the psalm continues, and now we are here, standing inside the gates of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city restored in beautiful order and harmony. This is where the tribes come, the tribes of Israel, to give thanks to the Lord according to his command. Here the kings of Israel sat to judge their people. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you prosper. May there be peace inside your walls and safety in your palaces. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I say to Jerusalem, peace be with you. For the sake of the house of our Lord, our God, I pray for your prosperity. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer, please. Merciful and holy God, we are indeed privileged to be in your house and to once again lift up praise and celebration to your holy name. As we are here to hear your word, may it guide us. Strengthen us, renew us in ways that we find ourselves all the more rededicated and committed to your causes and purposes as we also experience your great comfort. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. So, this morning, welcome to the Lord's house. Truly, it is a joyous experience for all of us to have the privilege to once again assemble, to see each other, to greet each other, albeit though with a 6-foot imaginary ruler between ourselves. From the 15th of March of this year of our Lord 2020, 13 weeks have passed since our last opportunity to experience one another's presence and the presence of God's Holy Spirit in this place we call the sanctuary of Berry Christian Church. On many occasions, I've had the opportunity to pause, to sit and pray in this place of worship. Silence has been my only companion. Yet on many occasions I've envisioned the places where I know many of you normally have sat, the past conversations we've enjoyed, the hymns of celebration we've lifted up with our voices to the heavens, the special music that Andrew and our choir and other vocalists have shared with us, Lenora's playing of the organ that has filled this worshipful space. After 13 weeks, this holy place, though maybe with only a few cylinders functioning, as many of our practices are set aside, and as many in our fellowship still remain at home, this place, though, is once again filled with our endeavors to enjoy fellowship with one another and to offer praise and adoration to our loving God. The 13 weeks now behind us and an undetermined space of time in front of us gives us reason to pause and to reflect, to appreciate that which we've been missing from our accustomed routines, our meaningful relationships, the places we've normally enjoyed, and even especially this place where we worship God. So much has been altered so quickly. When I think of all the adjustments that have been made by so many, I think one of the most difficult ones I've seen has been grandchildren and great-grandchildren not understanding why they can't get a hug from a grandparent. Because, you know, when you're their age, they don't understand Corona this or that. That doesn't mean a thing to them. They just know that the instructions are different. And yet, deep within their hearts, they yearn for a hug, and they yearn to give a hug, because it is such a great expression, a depth of expression of love. Surely, on a human scale, that experience is one of the more significant losses, not only of the last 13 weeks, but of the weeks to come ahead. Our 13 weeks of absence has been but a hint of what it must have been like for the Hebrew and Jewish people during the many centuries in which a place of worship was taken from them by forces much out of their personal control. Just like the absences and adjustments we've learned to endure have been so very much out of the realm of our own personal control. It makes us feel helpless when so much control of our daily routine is determined by forces beyond ourselves. It's been but just a mere hint of what God's people so often endured when powerful forces took away their livelihoods, their accustomed lifestyles, and even took away their places of worship, but never took away their faith. Reflecting on the history of our Judeo-Christian heritage, it is noteworthy to remember that it was only through the course of loss of the familiar, loss of that which was traditional, that the forefathers of our faith tradition were compelled to preserve their belief in God in new ways. For 410 years, Solomon's Temple stood on top of the highest point in all of Jerusalem. It was a beacon of testimony to God and a place of worship and solace for 14 generations of God's people. Yet, in 587 BC, Solomon's Temple was leveled to the ground when Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian forces invaded the southern kingdom of Judah, destroyed Jerusalem, and carried off the wealthy and educated Hebrew people to become the Babylonians' public servants and slaves. Yet it was while the Hebrews were in Babylonian exile that their oral traditions were preserved as collected writings, and these books became the origin of what we call the Old Testament. Under the Persians, later generations of these former Babylonian Hebrews became known as the Jews. Under the guidance of Nehemiah and Ezra, and prodded by the constant admonitions of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, this remnant of God's followers were compelled to half-heartedly repopulate Jerusalem, rebuild her walls, and reconstruct a semblance of a temple on the floor of Solomon's temple. Yet it wasn't until the public works projects of Herod the Great years later that the floor of Solomon's temple was greatly expanded, and King Herod built a temple to the Jewish God of Abraham that stood as the great marvel of all Jerusalem for 420 years. It was the very temple in which Jesus our Lord and the apostles worshiped God and taught the people about the good news of Christ. After only 14 generations, however, even Herod's temple and all of Jerusalem was once again completely destroyed in 70 AD as the Romans grew tired of the constant rebellious activities of Jews subjected to their rule. Yet, as generations of God's people once again struggled with the loss of their home base, their temple, it was then that the Jewish people began to worship in the familiar gatherings of such small buildings, the likes of which are even used today, called a synagogue. The two root words of synagogue mean simply to bring together. Even today, it only takes 10 Jewish families in any given place to create a synagogue. And in synagogues of generations past and even generations today, what is the central aspect of their worship? It's the sharing of the Word of God, the reading and teaching and learning about what God wishes His people to know of His great compassion and care for them. If we think about what is at the core of worship, even for us today, what is it? It is, first of all, the privilege to lift up praise and celebration to God, and secondly, it is to hear His Word and to be guided by its inspiration. And as Christ our Lord came into the world and transformed much of His Jewish tradition into what we now call Christianity, we are mindful that even on Pentecost, which we celebrated by an audio recording just two Sundays ago, it was through our understanding of the second chapter of the book of Acts in the New Testament that we remembered that the Holy Spirit descended upon the believers gathered at the steps of the entrance into Herod's temple at David's city, and a ceremony set aside to celebrate the birth of the Hebrew faith was transformed into the birthday of the Church of Jesus Christ. We learned that after Christ ascended into heaven on Ascension Day, as Luke chapter 24, verses 52 and 53 tells us, they worshiped Him and went back into Jerusalem, filled with great joy, and spent all their time in the temple, giving thanks to God. And 10 days later, on Pentecost, as the believers were blessed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42 tells us that about 3,000 believers were added to the group that day and were baptized. And as verse 42 tells us, they spent their time in learning from the apostles, taking part in the fellowship and sharing in the fellowship meals and prayers. Speaking of that baptism at the second service, one of the folks here in the sanctuary said, "Well, Dennis, I've been away from church so long, I feel like I need to be baptized again." I said, "Well, in this day of social distancing, I guess all I'd be able to do is throw a bucket of water on you. Time and again, the stories of our spiritual ancestors have revealed to us the great blessing and benefit of assembling as fellow believers, that worshiping God has been of paramount importance, and that sacred places of fellowship and worship have been a fundamental part of believers' spiritual lives for centuries. Like our Hebrew and Jewish ancestors in the faith, the truth is that it is often in times of loss that we truly discover how much we value our times together with one another, how much we value our time in worship to God. During the summer of my freshman year of college, I was privileged to serve as summer youth director for what was then the Central Avenue Christian Church in Parsons, Kansas. The sanctuary that housed the congregation at the time was constructed in 1904. It boasted a brick facade, outstanding turn-of-the-century stained glass windows, a massive bell tower with working bells, deep colored oak woodwork, and an impressive organ whose sound soared to the heavens. On many of an occasion, alone, I found myself seated in the pews or even up in the balcony, just to silently offer praise to God as I marveled at the splendor and found comfort in the craftsmanship dedicated to God. You know, even as a woodworker, there was just something about the quality of workmanship from that past century that I had such an appreciation for. I just loved being seated in the sanctuary there just to marvel and praise God. What was interesting is that at that church, some folks would come even an hour before services started and just seat themselves in the sanctuary just to sit in silence and pray. There were folks who would gather when the organist would be practicing, just because it was an opportunity to hear the organ another time besides Sunday morning. Yet shortly after my return to college for my sophomore year, I received the word. In fact, it was September. The sanctuary had burned all the way to the basement. A fire was started by an electrical short in the wooden basement ceiling, which was also the wooden oak floor of the sanctuary above. All that remained was a blackened hole. The congregation found refuge as they shared the sanctuary and classrooms of their generous neighbors down the road at the American Baptist Church. The remaining education wing housed the offices, even though the smell of smoke lingered long after the basement hole was cleared out and filled. With remarkable fortitude and devotion, however, the congregation regrouped. They built and paid off. This was in 1978-79 time frame. Built and paid off a $1.1 million new church campus. It was paid before they even moved in. But replicating the grandeur of that 1904 worship space was, of course, incomprehensible, and thus it was never replicated. It was simply relegated to the memories of those of us who remembered and cherished that previous worshipful space. Yet, as I said, it was through the experience of the loss that the congregation discovered the resolve to rebuild their sacred space. And through it all, they also maintained their previous standing as being one of the top 100 churches in outreach giving throughout the entire denomination. It's little wonder that the general minister and president of the denomination at the time was in attendance the Sunday we were all there and privileged to dedicate the new facility. And even though the fire happened right after my first summer there, the congregation welcomed me back the next summer. And they paid the bulk of my education cost, all of my sophomore and my junior years. Yet, as I said, it is through the experience of loss that these people discovered the vitality to move forward in worship and in fellowship. It was in the midst of loss that the Hebrews created the written Old Testament. It was in the spirit of loss that the Jews created worship in the synagogue. After 13 weeks, we are privileged to say, welcome again to the Lord's house. Possibly it will be the memory of loss that our faith in God and our devotion to one another will kindle a flame of greater devotion to mission and ministries in our day and in our time. For as Psalm 122, verse 1 declares, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the Lord's house. Praise God. Our hymn of invitation this morning, number 434, may we stand and sing stanzas 1 and 3, please, of Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. 434, please.
Invisible God, only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not change thee.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. We are so grateful that you all were willing to follow all of the protocols that we have in place at the present time. You know, with the way our attendance has been today, it may seem kind of unusual for us to need to go through all of those methods. But frankly, it's as the attendance continues to increase that the methods will need to be more intact as we have more people filling up the sanctuary. Where we're currently standing is, it seems, about 30-40% of our folks have chosen to come back to worship. Another 60% are either staying home for a bit more of an extended time, or in the case of some of our people are actually just out and about with various trips and things going on, because after all, it is what? It's the startup of the summer season. So we thank you. And again, we do want to encourage everybody, please remember and please pass the word that we do need everyone to please call the church office or send an email by 3:00 on Thursday of the Sunday you want to be here, so we can get you on the schedule. Because again, as we fill up more, it's going to be more important that we make sure we don't end up filling up beyond that 60-number count capacity. And frankly, we could do that if everybody was in attendance. So that's why it's important for us to have the 3 services and for us to go ahead and make that reservation. Your assistance is genuinely appreciated. May we have a word of prayer as we close. Merciful and holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house, to experience the great joy of worshipful praise to your holy name, and the opportunity to say hello to one another once again, even though it may be at a distance. Guide us as we depart. We know your Spirit is with us, and for this we give thanks. In Christ's name, amen.
With you till we meet again. Loving counsels guide uphold you. With a shepherd's care unfold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. When life's perils thick confound you, put unfailing arms around you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet.